Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. Today is Thursday, March 26th, and we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, March 25th, 2026. This is episode 346.
We have a really packed show today. We're looking at the EU's relentless push to scan private messages, a really thought-provoking piece on why AI coding agents might be ruining software quality, some wild election interference in Slovenia, a cool new feature from the flight tracking app Flighty, and finally, a deep dive into Google's new extreme compression algorithm for AI called TurboQuant.
Let us start with a topic that feels like Groundhog Day on Hacker News. The EU still wants to scan your private messages and photos.
Right. This is the infamous chat control legislation. Just when we thought it was dead after the EU Parliament voted on March 11th to replace blanket mass surveillance with targeted monitoring, the conservative EPP group is trying to force a repeat vote.
The creator of the website Fight Chat Control actually posted this to Hacker News, urging European citizens to contact their members of European Parliament. What's wild here is the procedural maneuvering. The trilogue negotiations were supposed to fail, letting Chat Control 1.0 lapse, but the EPP is pushing a repeat vote to overturn the March 11th decision.
The Hacker News comments really dug into the mechanics of EU democracy here. A user named Weekend Malik expressed surprise that this keeps coming up, pointing out that the EU Commission, which pushes these bills, is appointed rather than directly elected like the MEPs.
Exactly. Though another user, Hermans at German, countered that the Commission consists of member states whose governments are democratically elected. It is a step removed, kind of like how the Federal Reserve operates in the US, but it still feels undemocratic to a lot of people when a no vote just means ask me again next week.
Another interesting point from the comments was why privacy advocates are always playing defense. Someone asked why there is not a massive push for a bill enshrining the right to private communications, so these surveillance bills become impossible to even table.
It is a great question, Sarah. But as the thread pointed out, stopping bad legislation is often just a matter of grassroots pressure saying, please do not do this. Passing good legislation requires lawyers, massive lobbying budgets, and politicians willing to stake their reputations. It is a much steeper hill to climb.
Speaking of steep hills, let us talk about the state of software development. There was a hugely popular post by Mario Zechner titled, Thoughts on Slowing the F-Word Down. We will keep it family-friendly here, but the sentiment really resonated with the community.
Oh man, this piece hit hard. Mario is basically calling out the industry for our obsession with AI coding agents. He argues that over the past year, as tools like Devin, Aider, and the new Cursor have proliferated, we are seeing the consequences in production code bases. He claims software is becoming a brittle mess, with 98% uptime becoming the new normal.
Right, and because the developer has removed themselves from the loop, they only realize the architecture is a disaster when they try to add a new feature 6 months later and everything breaks. You can't even trust the unit tests because the AI wrote those too.
The Hacker News discussion was incredibly philosophical. A user named Bad Librarian asked the ultimate question, which is, what are we actually building? They pointed out that we've gone through these cycles before with Ruby, PHP, and Visual Basic. It's just fatiguing.
Another commenter, Perry Geo, echoed that, saying the last 10 years feel full of metawork. New frameworks, new virtualization layers, new orchestration tools, all just to build what exactly? But there was also pushback. Some users pointed out that while AI might be creating messy enterprise code bases, it is also democratizing software.
Yes, that was a great counterpoint. Normal people who do not know how to code are building highly specific, useful tools for themselves for $20 a month. The walls of our profession are coming down. It might look messy to a senior engineer, but to a hobbyist or an artist, it is pure magic.
It is the classic cathedral and the bazaar debate, just updated for the AI era. Though I do think Mario is right that if you are building a SaaS product for actual paying customers, letting a swarm of agents architect your backend while you sleep is probably a recipe for disaster.
Let us pivot to some international espionage. The Wall Street Journal published a wild piece about Slovenian officials blaming the Israeli private intelligence firm Black Cube for trying to manipulate their elections.
This reads like a spy thriller. Apparently, operatives posed as fake investors schmoozed with politicians and secretly recorded them agreeing to corrupt practices or discussing bribes. Then, these edited tapes were leaked to influence voters right before the elections.
The Hacker News comments added so much crucial local context to this. A user from Slovenia named Trinix912 chimed in, saying it is an open secret that the parties in charge take cuts from big infrastructure projects. They pointed out that while the state media is focusing heavily on the origin of the leaks and the Israeli connection, the actual corruption revealed in the tapes is a massive issue locally.
Yeah, Trinix912 mentioned that a former government secretary was caught on a different leaked tape talking about setting up their own people to handle flood cleanup because that's where the most money flows. It is just blatant.
But the operation itself is fascinating. According to the article, the fake investors paid a 500 euro tab in cash and kept pushing politicians to suggest bribes. One politician, Schwarz Pippen, said she actually refused to lobby and told them she was legally barred from doing so, realizing it was an entrapment operation because they seemed to know absolutely nothing about the data centers they were supposedly investing in.
It really shows how sophisticated election interference has become. It's not just bots on social media anymore. It's private intelligence firms flying in on unmarked charter jets, running elaborate sting operations, and weaponizing the resulting footage. As one commenter noted, we should expect to see a lot more of this kind of highly targeted, privatized interference in future elections globally.
On a lighter note, Mike, let us talk about travel. The flight tracking app Flighty just launched a new feature called Flighty Airports, and the community had some strong opinions.
Flighty is an iOS app that frequent flyers absolutely swear by. This new feature is basically a meltdown map. It gives you a live dashboard of major airports showing departure delays, arrival delays, and cancellation alerts. It is beautifully designed, like everything Flighty does.
But the use case sparked a debate. A user named HarHarVeryFunny asked what you are actually supposed to do with this information. You can't exactly change your departure airport on the way to your flight. They wanted actionable data, like TSA security line wait times instead.
That is a fair point, but the power users came out in force to defend it. A touring lighting designer chimed in, saying Flighty is a lifesaver. When you live in the air, getting notified about a cancellation 6 hours before the airline tells you means you can rebook before everyone else and actually make it to your next gig.
There was a funny moment in the thread, though. That touring designer created their account just 14 minutes before posting that glowing review. Someone immediately called them out for astroturfing.
Yeah, the classic Hacker News skepticism. But the user defended themselves, saying they were just a longtime lurker who finally had something relevant to share, and even dropped their Instagram handle to prove they were a real touring crew member. Other older accounts backs them up too, saying Flighty really is that good.
It is a premium product, $60 a year, and it is iOS only, which naturally ruffled some feathers. But it's a great example of a team finding a very specific niche, frequent flyers who value their time and sanity, and executing the product perfectly.
For our final story, we're getting into the weeds of AI research. Google Research published a blog post about TurboQuant, which they are calling extreme compression for AI efficiency.
This is highly technical, but incredibly important for the future of AI infrastructure. Large language models use something called a key value cache, or KV cache, to remember context during a conversation. As context windows get bigger, this cache consumes massive amounts of memory, creating a huge bottleneck.
Enter TurboQuant. It is a vector quantization technique that shrinks these high-dimensional vectors. Traditional quantization usually adds memory overhead because you have to store quantization constants. TurboQuant somehow manages to avoid this overhead, allowing for massive compression without losing the model's accuracy.
The blog post mentions it starts by randomly rotating the data vectors to simplify the geometry. A user named Gavin Ray asked for an "explain it like I am five" on this, and the community delivered. Essentially, the rotation spreads the energy and ensures predictable coordinate distributions, which makes coordinate-wise quantization computationally efficient.
But the real drama was in the comments. A researcher named Amit Port showed up and pointed out a glaring omission. They noted that the foundational technique of applying a geometric rotation prior to extreme quantization for bias correction was actually introduced in their 2021 NeurIPS paper called Drive.
Wow, that is a big deal in the academic world.
It gets spicier. Amit Port said they actually presented this exact work in a private invited talk at Google shortly after publication. They were very professional about it, saying they're not claiming Google stole the idea, as independent research happens, but they really hope to see their prior art acknowledged in the final camera-ready version of the Google paper.
You have to love the Hacker News comment section for this exact reason. Where else do you get the author of The Foundational Math showing up to gently but firmly correct a tech giant's research blog?
Exactly. Another user, Jay Maliski, said if Google invited them for a talk, they were probably already independently working on it and wanted to compare notes. But still, the consensus was clear. You have to cite your sources. It's basic science etiquette.
Aside from the citation drama, the tech itself is a massive leap. If we can compress the KV cache this effectively, it means we can run much larger models with much larger context windows on cheaper hardware. It is a win for everyone building AI applications.
That is all we have time for today. Five fascinating stories that really capture the spectrum of Hacker News, from European privacy laws and AI developer existential dread to international spycraft, travel apps, and deep machine learning math.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and share it with your friends. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.
See you tomorrow.